The next case of the day is number 04-1827. In re Bridgestone Firestone Incorporated, the appeal of Sofia de Menez. Mr. Du Bois.
May it please the court. I represent the Lopez family, whose lawsuit was dismissed from the multi-district litigation on the basis of forum non-convenience. That dismissal was an abuse of discretion because the district court failed to follow traditional, well-established Supreme Court principles for evaluating and disposing of motions to dismiss on forum non-convenience grounds. Those standards are articulated in several different ways, but they all go to the context in which the balancing factors are evaluated. The court has articulated 9 or 10, depending on how you count balancing factors, but this is not a situation in which you simply weigh those balancing factors on an equal basis, and if one has a slight edge, that becomes the chosen forum. Rather, the Supreme Court has consistently said that it will honor the plaintiff's choice of forum, except in rare circumstances. And it specifically said that unless those balancing factors strongly weigh in favor of dismissal, then the plaintiff's choice of forum should be maintained. It also has said that in order to reverse or dismiss on forum nonconvenience grounds, there must be a showing that trial in the United States would be oppressive and vexatious for the defendants. We submit that the trial court abused its discretion because it didn't follow either of those standards. First of all, it made no finding that trial in the United States would be oppressive and vexatious for the defendants. And secondly, it did not find that the factors weighed strongly in favor of dismissal.
A big part of what the district court did, though, was to look at the Piper Aircraft against Reno holding of the Supreme Court that a foreign plaintiff's choice of a U.S. forum is not entitled to that same strong weight as actually you can see from the court's opinion, a permanent resident of the United States or a citizen's choice.
It's not.
She drew precisely that line
right
in the motions before her.
It is clear that it is not entitled to the same deference as a citizen's choice would be, but that does not mean that it's entitled to no deference at all. In two courts of appeals cases, the courts have said that failure to award a foreign plaintiff any deference is an abuse of discretion. That was in the Loney versus DuPont case from the Third Circuit and the Ravello-Monegro case versus Rosa in the Ninth Circuit. They both said it's an abuse of discretion to not award any deference to the plaintiff's choice, and that less deference does not mean no deference at all. And in this case, there was no deference at all awarded. When the judge was discussing deference, she said the United States residents are awarded some deference. But when it comes to the foreign plaintiffs, because they don't live in the United States, we can assume that it's not as convenient for them. Therefore, that is a factor weighing in favor of dismissal. Now, deference
is... I mean, it's so hard to tell these degrees of deference. I mean, the judge does discuss all manner of things. You know, where's the evidence? You know, she divides the evidence up into these various categories and how much translation and how much view and how much public convenience, private convenience. This is not a decision where she just writes a one-liner and says, I've decided this case should go to Mexico.
That's absolutely right, Your Honor. And in each one of those other cases I talked about, Loney versus DuPont and Ravello-Monegro versus Rosas, the judge did the same thing, went through all of the factors, and yet did not go through those factors in such a way that either in words or in substance recognize any deference on the part of the plaintiff's choice. Merely going through those factors is not enough, as this court wrote recently in the ISI International case, which was an appeal from a forum nonconvenience dismissal. Although the district judge cited Piper Aircraft versus Reno and Gulf Oil Corporation versus Gilbert, she did not employ the analysis required in those cases because in both of those cases it states there's a strong preference for conducting the litigation in the plaintiff's chosen forum. Only rare circumstances make honoring this choice inequitable, and unless the balance is strongly in favor of the defendant, the plaintiff's choice of forum should rarely be disturbed.
What was the reason for the choice of forum, other than the fact that they chose it? What would be the reason to try it in Texas?
The choice of forum in Texas, Your Honor, was because at that point there was a defendant called Smithers, which was a testing laboratory for these kind of tires, that was sued as one of the defendants. That defendant has subsequently been dismissed. But at the time of the choice of forum, That was one of the reasons. Western District of Texas is very close to where these plaintiffs reside in Mexico. Their lawyers practice in Texas. But the analysis isn't really between Texas and Mexico. It's between the United States and Mexico. As this court recognized in Macedo versus Boeing, which was a 1982 case that also involved a forum nonconvenience dismissal, the court in that case, it involved a plane crash in Portugal, and the court analyzed the difference between trying it in the Northern District of Illinois versus trying it in Portugal. And the court said in that opinion, we recognize that there was a case against Boeing, and Boeing is in Washington State, or it was at that time, that this case on remand may be subject to a motion to transfer venue to Washington. And the court said in its opinion, maybe we should consider that, but in a forum nonconvenience dismissal, the choice is between countries, between the United States and Mexico, and not just Texas. As I say, the trial court should not reverse unless it shows that trial in the United States would be oppressive and vexatious for the defendants.
Doesn't the net result of that argument mean that essentially, you know, if you're any multinational corporation, you should just spare yourself the trouble of filing a forum nonconvenience motion, because whether you're Boeing or whether you're Ford or whether you're, you know, Bridgestone, Firestone, or Abbott, or any of a number of huge multinationals, you're everywhere in the world anyway. Why not? Is that your position, basically?
Not at all, Your Honor. You still go through the balancing factors.
But you'll always lose, though. I mean, because a big multinational is present everywhere and can easily participate in court proceedings anywhere. We're stipulating that Mexico is an adequate forum. I understand no
right.
one's contesting that.
And in this case, we didn't choose the United States as a forum in order to harass them. This is where they're located. And more importantly, this is where the multi-district litigation is located. It's hard for them to say it's oppressive and vexatious for them to try a case in the United States when these defendants moved to set up the multi-district litigation in the Southern District of Indiana. When we filed a tag-along notice in this case, they didn't object to that tag-along notice. So it's hard for them to say that it's burdensome and vexatious to litigate a case in the United States.
You know, it seems to me the 900-pound elephant in the room is that that the reason they want to be that you want to be in the United States is because the damages recoverable here are significantly higher than they would be in Mexico. That was a factor the Supreme Court considered in Piper and said we really can't take that into account as long as there is a claim. But that's got to be the reason you wanted to be in the U.S.
There's no question that was one of the reasons. And as the court just said, that's not something we're supposed to take into account. That's not one of the reasons we're suggesting it should be in the United States. We're just saying they have the burden to show why it would be burdensome and vexatious to try it in the United States. The only factor that the district court opinion talks about in that regard is the availability of evidence. They say there may be evidence in Mexico that these defendants do not bring into the United States, except the court states in her opinion that they have not pointed to one document, one witness, or one third-party defendant who they could not bring to trial in the United States. Now, in their brief, they point out that they're not required to provide a list of names or a description of their testimony. Piper says that. But Piper also says that in that case, the defendants each filed an affidavit stating the difficulty of proof they would have if they had to litigate in the United States. We don't have that in this case. We have an accident report, and we have an affidavit from an accident reconstruction expert who talks about the things that they typically like to look at. But there isn't any evidence about any proof that could not be brought to bear in the United States. And in fact, we offered proof, an affidavit from a Mexican law expert who stated in his affidavit that documents and witnesses, he said that it would be extremely easy for Firestone to obtain the deposition testimony of witnesses in Mexico for use in the court proceeding in the United States. And the witnesses in Mexico were the only thing the court pointed to that would make it vexatious and oppressive. That just doesn't stand up in terms of proof. I see my white lights on. Unless the court has further questions, I'll reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Du Bois. We'll hear now from Mr. Morgan.
May it please the court, I'm Craig Morgan, representing both Ford and Firestone for purposes of this argument. I'd like to start with a plain sense of the matter here. This accident happened in Mexico, in the Mexican state of Veracruz, on a public highway in Veracruz. There were 9 occupants of the vehicle, all of whom were Mexican nationals living in Mexico.
But Mr. Morgan, let me just say, I mean, we know that about the accident. Normally, of course, from the point of view of personal jurisdiction and convenience to the defendant, the convenient place to bring a lawsuit is in the defendant's home, as it were, which for Ford and Bridgestone Firestone is the United States. And the Supreme Court has used rather strong language in connection with forum nonconvenience, oppressive and vexatious. And although we're dealing here with an abuse of discretion standard of review, if the district court never asked a legally relevant question, that's a failure that would undermine the decision.
Which?
I don't see why it's so oppressive and vexatious for a company like Ford and Bridgestone Firestone to litigate in the United States, which is, after all, the place where personal jurisdiction is easiest to establish over you, where the MDL is occurring, where all the similarly situated cases are occurring. You're already scattering evidence from every accident all over the country. Why not Mexico, too?
Well, because the pivotal question at issue in this case is what caused this accident, Your Honor. And the evidence about what caused this accident is all located in Mexico. The plaintiffs, on the other hand, have had...
Not all, because if what caused the accident was a design flaw in the tires or a design flaw in the vehicle, then some of that evidence is going to be here.
If that's true, that's
correct. Well, I know, but you said it's all in Mexico, and I just want to say it depends, of course, if the road was slippery that day or if he was drunk or what have you. That's one thing. If it's that the tire was so badly constructed that it just blew up on him, then that's another thing.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I have two responses to that, the first of which is to paraphrase one by the Fifth Circuit in the Vasquez versus Bridgestone Firestone case on facts virtually identical to this one, that the plaintiff's theory that what caused the accident was a defect in the tire reaches too far back in the causal chain. Because even if they do prove that it was a defect in the tire, that doesn't prove that it caused this accident. The plaintiffs, on the other hand, on page 27 of their reply brief, display their belief that what caused this accident and the evidence about that is a minor factor, is what they call it. What caused this accident is a minor factor. The second thing is that the plaintiffs already have all that evidence. As Judge Barker indicated in her on page 934 of her opinion, the discovery for the plaintiffs in this case has been closed for nearly 2 years. They have obtained.
Could I ask you whether part of your undertaking in connection with this motion was to underwrite the costs of translation of all of that evidence into Spanish?
No, we not made that offer, Your Honor. Judge Barker has had an opportunity for. This goes back to the plaintiff's effort to distinguish.
Because there's a lot. She does make the finding that the translation burden will be significantly higher if this goes down to Mexico than the translation burden would be if the Mexican police report and so on are brought back to, say, the Western District of Texas or wherever.
That's right, Your Honor. Again, I have two responses to that. The first of which is Ford doesn't have the luxury of being concerned about the effort of translating the evidence it wishes to obtain in Mexico, because it does not have it at all and will not be able to obtain it if this case is tried.
Oh, sure you will. I mean, the court mentions letters rogatory. You know perfectly well. I bet you do international litigation.
Your Honor, I would point out that the plaintiff's expert is simply wrong on that. In fact, the affidavit they filed in this case makes no reference whatsoever to the law of the state of Veracruz in Mexico. It's simply a copy of a generic affidavit that was filed in Tennessee. The affidavit that we filed, however, directly deals with Veracruz, and we filed several of them. We filed 3 affidavits from 2 different experts. One of them is 29 pages long, and it describes in detail the procedures for trial in Veracruz and emphasizes that the statutes in Veracruz say that the trial judge there can consider any evidence he considers relevant.
I know, but what I was just, let's say, questioning is your what I understood to be your statement, maybe it's not what you were saying, that if the case were proceeding in the Western District of Texas, that the law of the state of Veracruz and the law of Mexico are devoid of mechanisms under which evidence can be gathered for use in a foreign proceeding.
That's correct.
I believe Mexico is a party to the Hague Evidence Convention. I believe that there are procedures in the states in Mexico, the various states, under which that sort of proceeding as
possible. I would like to address the court's attention to the affidavit of Carlos Sodi Serret, filed by the defendants. It's in the record at R6, Western District of Texas, as tab 7 to Bridgestone's motion to dismiss for form nonconvenience. And in that affidavit, Professor Serret describes that the international treaties on the use of letters of rogatory, such as the ones the court just described, give the courts of signatory countries the right to refuse to honor their use in pre-trial discovery.
Of documents. I'm actually, you're referring to Article 23 of that treaty. And, in fact, it's much more complicated than that.
Well, the point is, nonetheless, that we can't get at least the documents. And that... The Mexican federal statute does, in fact, prohibit the use of letters of rogatory.
But it doesn't cover trial proceedings, and you were talking about the trial. You've already done the pretrial stage. Article 23 addresses only pretrial.
That's true, Your Honor. And to use a letter of rogatory during a trial in the United States, imagining the procedure. Once the trial begins, the jury is impaneled, because presumably the plaintiffs want a jury, and in fact insist they're going to get one. The jury will be present. The trial will begin. Then Defendant Ford will ask for a letter of rogatory to obtain evidence.
That's not what the treaty says, though. The treaty says you can't ask it for use in pretrial proceedings. If you represent to the Mexican court that it's for use in trial, it's not an Article 23. The court will do what it does. It's called a letter of request. Anyway, my only point is I think that the relative burdens... As the district court found, at least, perhaps you think she made a mistake on this. She finds that the relative burdens happen to favor the United States on that one point.
On translation?
Mm-hmm. On translation, the amount of evidence.
Well, that could be, Your Honor. And then the second point is simply this. The evidence that the plaintiffs wish to use in these several hundred foreign multi-district cases for the alleged defects in the Ford Explorer and the Firestone Tyrese are precisely the same evidence for all 400 cases. If it gets translated for a single case, for a single trial in Latin America, it will be in Spanish for all of them. The cases determining what caused each specific accident is going to be different for every single case. So if this court is going to find persuasive the plaintiff's argument that for this case, this one case, translating all of those documents into Spanish is going to be so burdensome that it outweighs the obligation of Ford to translate into English the facts about this specific accident, that simply is not the realistic picture of how this litigation is going to proceed.
Of course, the Venezuelan and Colombian cases, to your knowledge, have any other cases been dismissed on forum nonconvenience grounds for purposes of trial in foreign countries?
Yes, there have been quite a few of them from the federal courts. In fact, we cited five such reported decisions in our brief. Judge Barker cited four of them, mm-hmm. and the plaintiffs have yet to mention none of them. In addition, we provided five unreported district court decisions from the federal courts in Texas and Louisiana dismissing cases exactly like this one for forum nonconvenience.
No, like this one. Of course there are other cases like this one. I meant from Judge Barker's court.
No.
My question is very specific to Judge Barker's court, the discovery over which she has been the supervising judge in this case. Obviously, there are lots of forum nonconvenience cases.
My understanding, these are the only cases in that multi-district litigation that have been ordered dismissed for forum nonconvenience. 2 years before this one, she denied our motions for cases in Venezuela and Colombia.
Right. We know that case.
Which are clearly distinguishable, in our opinion. But a lot had happened in the 2 years between there. For one thing, Judge Barker was very rightly concerned about the instability in Colombia, which is not a factor in Mexico. She concluded that Venezuelan courts were not available at all to the plaintiff's claims, and that's not a case in Mexico. And furthermore, she decided that the two affidavits that the defendants filed for Venezuelan law were simply not credible, and announced that their credibility was their incredibility of their opinions could not be disputed, I think is the way she phrased it. And that's not the case for the affidavits we filed in Mexico. We described in detail the procedures for the Mexican courts and the substantive claims that the plaintiffs would be able to assert there. Judge Barker's opinion was thorough and it correctly applied the law. It went through all of the factors, analyzed every one of them, and is well supported by this record. It cannot be said that it was a clear abuse of discretion.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Sir, you have 1 minute.
May it please the court. I want to briefly address the evidence that would be available in the respective districts. Ford says that we're mainly concerned about causation evidence, and that's all in Mexico. Of course, they don't have any proof in their motion about what that proof would be. They attach a copy of the accident report, which establishes it was a one-car accident. The only driver is deceased. It was on a dry highway, on a flat conditions, in daylight. Doesn't mention any witnesses other than the other passengers in the car. Doesn't mention any investigation that was done of that accident other than the police report itself, which is available. All of the passengers in the car are now themselves plaintiffs in the multi-district litigation. They have submitted themselves to the jurisdiction of that court. We still don't have a single piece of evidence described specifically or generally that would be available in Mexico and not in the United States. With regard to the Ford and Firestone evidence, they say you could easily use in Mexico because we're willing to give you all that we've produced in the multi-district litigation. Our affidavit said Mexican law ordinarily does not accept depositions, photographs, photocopies. Their expert says, well, it's up to the discretion of the Mexican judge to consider whatever he wants. There is no guarantee that any of that evidence could be used by us in Mexico. They have not shown us anything that they have in Mexico that could not be used in the United States. Certainly, these factors don't weigh strongly in favor of dismissal. We ask the court to reverse.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement with our thanks to both attorneys. We have finished the call of the day, and therefore the court will arise until the next appointed oral argument date.